Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, happy Wednesday. It's a hump day as we're almost to the weekend. Mike Bell, last night, man, I don't know how much you got a chance to watch. We were all curious to see what the Hawks would do without John Collins with that 25-game suspension, and we talked a lot about that yesterday. Man, did this team respond last night.
Yeah, man, I was getting caught up on my TV stuff last night, so I was actually watching it this morning on the DVR and just, you know, zipping through it. And just love the fact that Trey, coming off the ankle, is able to respond with a big game. Jabari Parker continues to do his thing. And if you didn't see it, man, when they really started to pull away for about 6 minutes left in the game and they pull away from the Spurs, everybody, including DeAndre Hunter, making big shots. Earlier, Cam Reddish, 3-for-3 from the stripe. And even Vince Carter bombing one.
He was.
You know what I mean? So there was so many cool things happening last night. And again, if you were down there, it just continues to be a fun vibe, even with the loss of John Collins.
Yeah, I just, you know, I want to go back to prior to the draft, and we were talking about who do we want. I'm not talking about Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter. I'm talking about the previous draft, two drafts ago, where it was all about Trey or Luka. And, right. You know, we were saying, at least on this show, that we thought Trey, as you said, the biracial angel, the transformative star.
Right.
And we're just going back. It's not revisionist history, but I'm curious to know what all those guys and cats were saying about Trey, you know, two and a half years ago, what they're saying now. Because what I really think, Mike, is we're seeing a superstar blossom into his own. And I know it's early in the season, but remember how he starts, 38, 39, whatever it was. The injury to the ankle, comes back last night. He had 16 in the fourth quarter. That's Jordan-esque. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not comparing him. I'm saying.
But that's a big money, big player, and hashtag NBA All-Star.
That's the thing. In the fourth quarter, when it matters, this is when stars step their game up. You know, LeBron's got triple-doubles going on in L.A., and everybody's talking about it. But our guy right here in Atlanta is doing some amazing things. And I'm really curious to know, do you believe? Because I think Trey is making people believe slowly but surely, like, not only was he the right pick, but this guy's going to be everything we expect him to be.
Right. And as we said, guys, you know, there's always that, you know, four-letter network with the mouth breathers that have to turn it into a zero-sum game, that this team won it and that team lost it. You know, and Luka had more experience coming in. And then Trey was on fire in the second half. And we say it all the time on this show, if you're new to Dukes and Bell, why can't both guys and both teams have gotten it right? And that's what it looks like right now. Knock wood, you know, because Trey looks like every bit of a superstar in this league, and it's fun to watch this guy just get better and better.
No doubt about it. They're back in action tonight, as a matter of fact, back-to-back against the Bulls. You'll be able to listen right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game at 7. Tip is at 7:30. Maybe you're more surprised, as Mike is mentioning, at guys like Jabari Parker. Nobody's talking about Jabari Parker,
you know,
in the offseason.
Because he's been hurt and he's been banged up, and you think he's like 30. No, he's 25. You know, that's what's so crazy. And all these guys come out at like age 19 after 1 year, so you're like, wow. Old man Jabari, yeah, age 25. So if he stays healthy, you can, knock wood, perhaps weather some of the John Collins absence. I mean, look, if the stars align and he wins the appeal, nobody wins these appeals. We talked about that yesterday for the band PED. But, yeah, man, I mean, at least keep your head above water, and then maybe, you know, when JC gets back, you can do something. But last night was great. That was great.
It was. And, again, this is what we said yesterday on the show. It was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it was like, Trey, if you got to score 40, score 40. We don't care.
Take every shot.
Yeah, we don't care. He got everybody involved, though, and it was great to see him really freak out LaMarcus Aldridge on that play everybody's showing on SportsCenter and all around social media where he dribbles left, right, left, right, left, and then takes it to the basket a little bit and then gives a pass up to Bembry. He just did it all last night. But I just want to acknowledge, and I hope everybody else is, this is the real deal. This guy's good. And he's only going to get better, Mike. And I think he's one of these guys, I don't want to say a gym rat, but he's hungry enough that his game will continue to get better. Going into last season, everybody was saying, well, you know what? He's kind of small. He needs a runner in the lane. Okay, in the offseason, he got it. Now he's going in the lane. He's got a little runner in the lane right over the top of guys, you know, and it's going in. It's things like that that show me Trey is continuously working on his game. Those are the things that are going to make him better and ultimately not only be an all-star, but one of these guys that we're talking about as an all-pro.
And DeAndre, you know, Bembry is, again, anything you get from him is gravy, but I'm so excited about DeAndre Hunter, you know, because the dude, he's ready to go and he's going to get better offensively. Defensively, he's already the total package based on his college experience. And then we talked about Cam Reddish. We've seen it all in the last couple of games. Taking it to the rack on in a big time NBA dunk, having 3 for 3 from 3-point range. So all the little things, building blocks for Cam Reddish to feel more and more confident out there. You're seeing it.
404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. What were you watching last night? What shows did you get caught up on?
I got caught up on Watchmen and Mr. Robot. So again,
both of those shows,
you know,
money.
You guys know it. If you're our age group or younger, there's like 18 million things to watch between Netflix and over-air TV and AM. You know, you have to tell you guys. But Mr. Robot's one of my favorites. But, man, The Watchmen. And we were just talking about this before the show. Carl and I have watched every episode so far. This is the thing you got to be on HBO. Even if you didn't know the Watchmen graphic comic and then you didn't know the movie that came out a couple years back, it's so trippy and so clever and so well done, right? It's the best way to describe it.
It really is. And you don't have to have that background. You could easily just watch episode one, and there's some wow factor there in the first 20 minutes where you go, ooh. And then it gets you caught up, and all of a sudden, you know, you're into it. But, yeah, I agree. That's one of the best shows on. I actually, Mike, I think I told Bo this the other day. And, by the way, Craig is our engineer today behind the glass, Bo Morgan producing the show. I ended up purchasing, and don't ask me why, all these damn services. We've been talking about this, whether it's YouTube, Netflix, Prime. I ended up getting Apple TV, which is kind of new. They're creating their own original content.
Right.
And it was like, you know, $4.99 or whatever. And I saw the previews. You may have seen this. I think it's Jennifer Aniston and the guy. What's the guy that started in The Office?
Like the talk show, right?
Yeah. The morning show. It's called The Morning Show. And I ended up saying, all right, I'm going to check this out because it's news-based, but it's also kind of about our industry. And I think it's loosely based on Matt Lauer.
And more than that.
So that basically the main anchor, and I don't want to blow it for anybody, is accused Me Too, right? And so it all revolves around that. But it ends up being really good. Here I am, though, paying another $4.99 for another service that I probably don't need, and I'm watching this, and then there's another show on there, and I'm going, oh, that looks good. To your point, way too much. Way too much.
Big movie fans that we are, I'm a big, you know, I think anybody who watched movies over the last 30 or 40 years, you're a big Al Pacino fan. Well, remember I told you to go check out the Al Pacino inside the actor studio? Well, the second hour, I got to be honest with you.
Not as good?
He's all over the place.
Oh.
I almost felt sorry for the host on this one, Ellen Burstyn. Because she's trying to, like, it's like herding kittens, trying to get Al Pacino's thoughts to line up. Because he'll start talking about something, then he shoots over there, and then he's like stream of consciousness. So the good news was, if you want to get some insight on The Godfather and some of his other movies, you got it. But it was, at times, you're like, Al, please, focus. But you weren't going to get it. But, you know, he's still an amazing talent. But you realize just how completely insane actors are. I think that's what I get from this is, I've always thought Pacino and De Niro were a little nuts. Well, I now know that Al is, but he's still an amazing talent.
Isn't that the case, though, with all brilliance? I mean, honestly, whether it's rock and roll, it doesn't matter. All these entertainers, at some point, you kind of go, it's crazy.
That's like when you meet an actor. Because, like, for instance, when you were on vacation and we had Edward Norton in studio, everybody's like,
oh, Edward Norton, he is really, really tough to interview.
And everyone's like, oh, he's a wet. Producers hate him. And all this. The guy had all this baggage built up that he was going to be like enfant terrible, and he's going to come in here and just
great.
Be the greatest. We had 20 minutes. He was there. His handlers were cool with him sticking around. We chatted for like 5 minutes after the interview about the movie and about things in New York that the movie's based on. Could not have been nicer. So I just think you always judge by your experience, you know? Because it's like you hear a guy, oh, Scottie Pippen, what a blank. Okay, maybe you met him on the one day whereas he's got stuff going on and he's not having a good day. I just think people always jump to these conclusions that that guy's a rat bastard because you met him on a day that wasn't so solid for him.
Yeah, that's true. Unless he didn't tip you like he's done a lot of times.
No, again, I have heard that too.
Yes, but I agree with you. I've said this.
But he's one of these guys that everybody has a crap on Scottie Pippen story in sports, hotel concierge, restaurant waiters, everybody you meet. If they met Pippen, it's generally bad.
Yeah, and everybody that's met Shaq loves him, right? Oh, Shaq.
On the
Shaq.
Flip side, you meet Barkley. Barkley bought us shots. You know, Barkley did this. Barkley did that because that's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, man, follow us on social media, all social media platforms, 929 The Game. That's our radio station. Follow Mike at Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell, 929. And that's, of course, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Here's the deal, guys. Herman Moore, legendary Lions receiver, set to join us at about 2:40 today. We'll talk to him about Julio, the wide receiving world of the NFL, but he's also got some other stuff going on. He will jump on with us. We're also going to get a Falcon today. Who? Stick around to find out. It's going to happen at about 4:20 this afternoon. Okay. And we're going to talk some college football with our buddy Bruce Feldman as the College Football Playoff Committee put out the rankings last night. And if I'm a Clemson fan, yeah, I'm upset. You should be. There's no doubt about it because it's total disrespect. We'll talk to Bruce coming up about that. But, Mike, today, unfortunately, and it was kind of out of the blue, and I just want to mention this, most years, at least the last few years, I felt really good about going on in New Orleans. Today I did not. And I got the phone call. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to talk Falcons with us? I said, do I have to? And I was joking, of course. And I said, yeah, sure. And I come on, and the first thing the guy asked me, you know, they're like, oh, we've got the Falcons this weekend. And they're just, you can just tell, they're just gloating. And he comes on, and he goes, what's going on with the Falcons? I said, what's not going on? Like, he goes, what went wrong? What's went right? And the thing is, you know, in New Orleans, they were able to survive without Drew Brees for those 5 weeks. They you know, Teddy Bridgewater stepped in, did a great job. And then the guy had the audacity to ask me in New Orleans, you know, about the Falcons matchup this weekend. So how many sacks are the Saints going to get this weekend? Hell if I know. You know?
I mean, if you give me an over-under, I'd probably say 3.5.
Exactly. And Cam may have all of those. I mean, we've had a tough time protecting Matt Ryan. I say all of that to say they are as giddy as ever down there. And here we are really twiddling our thumbs wondering what team's going to show up on Sunday. Mike, do you know what team's going to show up?
I mean, Matt Ryan was held out of practice for obvious reasons. They practiced on Monday coming off the bye, and Tuesday was the off day because of the ankle injury. Kaminsky was out as well, but it looks like the offensive line is generally healthy, and Lindstrom is going to get healthier sooner than later. We're going to see him back out there at guard. But as far as – I just don't know. I mean – because it's a division rivalry game, and we've seen it already in the NFL, we've seen it before with these teams, you could imagine us scoring. I would say we'll score 3 touchdowns. I'll give you that. We'll score at least 3 touchdowns. But how are we going to stop New Orleans with the way the defense has looked?
Okay, so we score 21. We give up 41? What?
I mean, I'm trying to, you know, it's for us, with eight weeks left for the Falcons, you know, we're trying to find some positives. Because, you know, as we said, as I'm working on the flagship, the last thing when it goes, say, game over, man, game over. But as a fan, first things first, can you give me a spark? Can you give me 4 quarters against the Saints? Because save for the Eagles, you've played one game where you've given us 4 quarters of football. And I hope that the bye week soul searching was done. Whatever Quinn's trying to do, I hope it works. Nothing has worked so far.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know, brother. I have no idea what Arthur's doing with this, and I have no idea where this team is going.
And that was kind of the interview today in New Orleans. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Want to hear from you, 404-741-0929. We will continue to talk about the Falcons. They're back on the field. But when we come back, what do you make of the rankings? And does it make sense? We'll get into it next. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We're going to get to some headlines coming up. Herman Moore, legendary Detroit wide receiver, is going to join us. You remember him? That was prior to Megatron, actually, guys. And we'll ask him, you know, with guys retiring early, is this the new trend, especially at that position? Mike, I don't know. And again, this is just throwing it out there. I don't know if Julio gets into this contract. I know they just gave him a nice extension. You know, he's 30 now. I mean, does Julio finish out this deal with the Atlanta Falcons? And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just simply saying, in 2 years, does he say, all right, I've had enough and I'm ready to be done?
Well, I mean, that's the great rub, man, is where are we going with this? What is the next iteration of the Falcons, the next version of this team going to look like? You know, again, we don't know. We have no way of predicting where this is going to go. I have no idea if Thomas Dimitrov is going to be here and the personnel department is going to be totally, shaken up. Or, you know, Dan Quinn, everyone just assumes that Arthur is going to move on from. I have no idea where it's going. But I do know this. is you're continuing to spend so much money on Matt and Julio and you're not getting the results, there really is no point. You know, that's the thing. Julio and Matt are sacred cows in this town. I get it. I took shots at Matt in 15 and 16. He bounces back with the MVP season, but that was also with Shanahan. And now we've, you know, I don't know where we're at now. Hopefully this offensive line will solidify when you get Lindstrom here and McGarry on the right side. We will have to address center. You'll have to, you know, so we'll have to tighten this thing up. But you're still top heavy with your contracts.
Yep.
I mean, does somebody come in here? And again, we still have football to play, but it's a question. I cannot help but start looking forward because I have nothing really in the immediacy of this season, Carl, to say, okay, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. Like, I'm going to watch the Saints-Falcons game, and all of a sudden Vic Beasley is going to master a spin move and a secondary move and get to the quarterback.
Wait a minute, Mike. Don't you doubt Vic Beasley? He's done absolutely nothing this season. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But I don't want to make it all about Vic. It's Tack. Where is your game? What are you? I thought you had a combination of brute force, speed. No, I got nothing. You on your own Twitter page, a defensive end who almost sacks a quarterback. I've never seen anything like that in my life, you know. But hey, that's where we're at now in this off week. Did the guys, you know, recharge the batteries, get their heads right? We'll see. Hopefully, they have pride and they get up for a rival that they know hates them and a coach who takes pleasure in screwing with us in Sean Payton. And this does mean something because even though it's not college, the pros do seem to get more up for those divisional games.
Well, that was my narrative today because, you know, when they asked me in New Orleans, do you think they'll get up for this? Yeah, they're going to get up for it. The last thing they want to do is be embarrassed against the Saints. I mean, you can – listen, nobody's going to walk down Peachtree, pick the whatever Peachtree you want, and say, man, can't believe the way we played against Tennessee. Nobody cares. But I guarantee you people will walk down Peachtree and go, dog, I can't believe we got embarrassed against the Saints like that. Completely different vibe. So they better show up, and that's kind of what I said. They'll show up. But them showing up, what does that mean? Does that mean the first half of the Houston Texans game where we're in it and then we're not in it and they put up 50? Is it the, you know, the Rams or the Arizona game? I mean, what does showing up actually mean right now?
I mean, you know, in the second half, we've seen teams just piling on. You know, we talked about, you know, you mentioned it, the Texans game. Then their second half is where we actually make some adjustments. We get after the quarterback, like in the Arizona game, it's Kyler Murray. And you're like, okay, you know, the Seattle game. I don't know whether you chalked it up to Seattle was just mailing it in because they figured this game was over. Either way, we came back amazingly with Matt Schaub. But that still doesn't mean anything. There's no moral victories there. You dug yourself a 24-0 hole. So yippee-ki-yay, we made it respectable on the scoreboard. That's still a loss. Nothing's changed here. So how do you get this team to play four quarters? Sean Payton's a much better coach than Dan Quinn. I don't think there's anyone that would debate that. So let's see what he comes up with when he sees what we're doing on defense.
More on the Falcons coming up. Herman Moore is on the way. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's hit some headlines.
Hey. Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Let's hear from Dan Quinn talking about the focus, and he even mentions it, Mike, rivalry game.
I think, like you just mentioned earlier, it's really good to be part of a rivalry game, and not every team in the NFL has them. And so for us, you know, through the years to have this rival, same division, battling for it, you know, those are important things. And so two fan bases that are really passionate about their team, and I think more so than any other week when you have a rivalry game, you got to make sure you keep your focus. You know, it'll be tuned up from a crowd standpoint to play down there. But more than anything, you know, you've got to have your focus right.
You got to have it right. You think Dan Quinn walked into the meeting, you know, before practice and, hey, we don't like them. They don't like us. Save my job. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. But he did maybe say they don't like us and we don't like them.
Or did he take a page out of my old high school coach, Ed Snitovsky? If we went up against Farmingdale and we got beat 45-0. And at halftime, he said, as he took a draw from his Marlboro, guys, let's just not embarrass ourselves, okay? So, true story. But, man, I just, you said it, and I'm with you. I mean, as much as I want to position this team for fantastic draft picks, you can't think of it that
way. Let's go win, man.
Let's go win. If we're going to get two more wins this year, let's make it against New Orleans. I'm with you.
Here is Quinn talking about Matt, and he's talking about Matt Ryan getting back on the field.
Well, he's going to participate in some practice today, so to know that he's going to get a good bit of work in today with the guys. You know, we're certainly expecting him to keep improving as the week goes, but we're off to a good start to get him some work today. He's worked extremely hard, and I think you guys know Matt. This guy's as tough as they come, so. No better chance to get started than for him to have a start off the week and getting some reps. That's always a good sign.
You will hear the Dan Quinn interview in its entirety coming up at 6:20 as he joined our morning show with John Frickie and Hugh Douglas today here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Meanwhile, how about these Hawks, man? Nice win against the Spurs, 108-100. Trae Young, 29 points. Most of that damage done in the second half, and specifically the fourth quarter. Here's Lloyd Pierce.
He can score at any point, but I thought his leadership down the stretch was really the key part of the game, and it's really encouraging to see because we had a lot of guys step up tonight, especially in that first half. But I'm just proud of all of our guys, proud of Trae's maturity to handle first half, second half performance, but great team win.
Yeah, I agree, Coach. By the way, you guys remember DeMar DeRozan?
Yeah.
You rather have Trae or DeRozan?
Yeah, right. You serious?
That's my point. I mean, here was a guy a couple of years ago in Toronto, and everybody's like, oh, he's this, he's that. He goes to the Spurs, Kawhi leaves, he goes, wins a championship, and now he's with the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, he was a non-clutch guy. He was a guy now, I mean, Lowry, I mean, had some blame too, but at least he did contribute in the championship run. But DeMar DeRozan was part of the most unclutch aspect of Toronto. They get rid of him. They, too, rent a player. They make they roll the dice. They make it work. And at the end of the day, you can't argue with that. But DeMar DeRozan, sorry, he's in his bag. I mean, you can't handle Kawhi Leonard's jock, and it showed.
Well, the point I'm making is there are a lot of guys around the league that are considered to be stars.
No.
He's not. He's not. And last night you saw our dude just take over in the fourth quarter. DeRozan should have been doing that for the Spurs. That's the difference between guys in this league that are here and down here.
Yeah, you're going to take over? You're going to put your stamp on the game? What did Keyshawn say back today about Kribet? I'm a star. He's a flashlight.
It is Dukes and Bell. It's our headline segment, guys. Kirby Smart talking about Missouri. Listen. You win big against Florida. You feel good, all that emotion, but you can't get caught slipping.
I don't think talking about it does it. I think the actions speak louder than your words, and that'll be important to our guys, you know, how we prepare and how we get ready and what kind of plan we put together to help us with these guys.
Now, speaking of Georgia, what about Tom Crean, Mike, and the kid that everybody's talking about, Anthony Edwards, last night, 24 points, 9 boards. They end up beating Wesley Carolina, and 91-72. Long story short, this may be the number one pick in the NBA draft, and Anthony Edwards. Here's Tom Crean.
I don't know if it's the pressure of living up to anything. He really doesn't. That's not him. Now, I've not seen that in him. But being an 18-year-old since August 5th, playing his first official college game, I did see that. We can practice till we're blue in the face, but it's a little different when it's opening night and there's that kind of crowd in the stands. I don't think he felt any pressure of expectation. I think it's just truly that it was his first college game.
West Carolina. I said Wesley Carolina. West Carolina, 91-72. Anthony Edwards with a big night. All Georgia fans, we said it. We're going to make our way up there to see this kid play.
Yeah, this is a dude that is going to be must-see TV. And again, you got a window. Everyone knows a talent like this is only going to be there for 1 year. I mean, that's it. That's the reality. It's so cool that Tom Crean can get that guy, but you've got to be able to maximize his talent, get to March Madness, and hopefully build your brand up to get more guys like him to keep this pipeline rolling.
I agree.
Not like there's any pressure, but seriously, that's why Crean was brought here.
Well, and this is the day and age we're in now, and this is the thing, Mike. It's nice to get one of these guys. Can you continue to get them?
Right. I mean, Anthony Edwards looked good in a Golden State Warriors uniform next year.
Okay, would you stop? That's personal, Craig. You're already drafting for the Warriors. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Herman Moore set to join us in less than 10 minutes. Stay right there. Big win for Tech last night. I'm talking hoops, guys. Tech goes on the road, and they beat NC State 82-81. Now, we've talked a lot about Josh Pastner, the coach at Georgia Tech, and all the things that have gone on there. Now it's back to basketball. Listen. I don't know how good Tech's going to be, but you go on the road and you beat a team that everybody expects to be in the mix at NC State this year. That's a good road win for them, man. So Georgia hoops wins, Tech hoops wins, and last night, if you missed it, Kentucky beats number one Michigan State, and also Duke beats Kansas. Those were the top four teams, at least to start the season. We may see them right here in Atlanta in April for the Final Four. Find out what he's doing these days. He was a heck of a receiver, man. And talk about the length of guys. He was one of those guys that was long and made spectacular catches. We'll talk to Herman Moore next.
Now Trae dribbling. Tricky dribbles. Goes baseline. Passes underneath. DeAndre Pimpery jams. What a play by Trae Young. And the Hawks lead 95-88. DeAndre Pimpery with the basket. 4:44 remaining. Now down low.
We are awaiting the arrival. He's going to join us on the phone of Herman Moore. Played 12 years in the league, Mike, and, you know, most of those with the Lions. It's crazy because you go back and you look at some of those Lions teams, And everybody always said, you know, if they had this, if they had that. Like, for example, if Barry Sanders had Emmitt Smith's line, right, with the Cowboys, how good would the Lions have been and how much more, you know, how many more yards would Barry Sanders have had? Well, you know, everybody talks about, you know, dynamic wide receivers. Herman Moore was that guy prior to Megatron getting there, obviously. He came afterwards. But he was a guy that if you didn't get a chance to watch him in his career, Mike, in the early 90s all the way up to the early 2000s, this dude could do it all.
Also, guys, there's kind of a Georgia Tech connection because Herman Moore was a part of that Virginia team that, if you guys got to go back to Georgia Tech's, you know, last national championship, 1990, Virginia, remember George Welsh? They were number one in the country, and they were rolling. This is the ACC before Florida State, by the way, and way before Miami, because they were, you know, then eventually they were Big East. But Georgia Tech, back in November that year, beats them up in Charlottesville, and then they fall. They lose, like, their last three games, including the bowl game. Georgia Tech goes on. That's when Georgia Tech wins the Citrus Bowl and was co-national champs to the Colorado team, which got the fifth down against Missouri, which should be just number one. But there is a UVA connection with that one as well. But, yeah, we're waiting on Herm. We'll talk to him. Also get his take on why everybody wants to get the hell out of Detroit, including Barry Sanders, Megatron, and anybody else who rolls through there.
It seems that way. Well, and you know what? This also speaks to, and we're not there yet, what is the legacy of Matthew Stafford going to be? Guys, he's not won a playoff game, right? And he's been there. He's put up terrific numbers. You go look at the numbers, you go, wow, man, this guy's thrown for all these yards. But ultimately, you know, I think when we look at Matthew Stafford, he's going to be another guy that played his career in Detroit.
Right.
And didn't do anything. Like, didn't win anything and will always be, you know, the equivalent of, again, like a Barry Sanders. I don't know if he's Hall of Fame material like Barry, but you've had a lot of great players that have been there, Mike, that just haven't had a chance to win significant playoff games or even get a chance to be in a championship game or a Super Bowl for that matter.
Right. I mean, it's tough. We've talked about, like, Matt Ryan and how we hope that Matt can get that ring because, obviously, I don't have to rehash what happened in 16. But I use a combination of, like, a guy like Dan Fouts. Remember how good Dan Fouts was with all those amazing wide receivers? And we put together some pretty good wide receiver corps over the years for Matt. You know, first with Roddy and then Julio and now with Calvin Ridley for a while there with Sanu. And, unfortunately, you know, they had some amazing, iconic games. You think about Kellen Winslow being carried off the field in the Orange Bowl. And they go on to lose to the Bengals that year. But they just never found a way to bring home the bacon. So, yeah, to your point. You don't want to be one of those guys, man.
All right, guys, we'll talk to Herman Moore coming up. Last night, the College Football Playoff Committee came out with their rankings. I mentioned this in a tweet on Sunday as I put out what I learned, that I thought Ohio State would be the number one team, and they are. At 8-0, LSU's 2, Alabama is 3, and Penn State came in at 4, which means Clemson is on the outside looking in. And immediately, you know, last night, I'm watching the Hawks games, but I'm also watching the reaction of college football fans going bananas around the country. You know, how can you do this? How can you leave Clemson out?
But we knew, you and I talked about this all day yesterday. We knew this was coming.
Well, I mean, listen, I felt that Ohio State and LSU were going to be one or two. I just thought that based on the body of work, and I know people are saying, well, they haven't played anybody. And I get it. But you know what? If you're LSU and you win this week, number one will take care of itself. If that's your number one concern, if you want to be the number one seed going into the college football playoff, because I think, Mike, you could win this week if you're LSU. Lose the SEC championship game to Georgia. Let's just say it's Georgia. Mm-hmm. And still get in. One loss in the SEC championship game, if that's your one L, I think that LSU could still get in. But, you know, if the ultimate goal for Ed Orgeron and his crew is to be the number one seed, you beat Bama this week, I think you take that back. And then we'll see where it goes. But, yeah, Georgia came in at 6, by the way, followed by Oregon, Utah, Oklahoma, and then Florida is number 10.
But, I mean, this is why, even though it's better than the BCS, and we talked about the average age of this is like, what, 65 to dead as far as the committee members on
this?
Don't
talk to me like that.
And they got a few younger members that are athletic directors. You've also got, you know, it's unfortunate because now you got Oregon that nobody respects, you know, this side of the Mississippi, and you got their AD who's the mouthpiece on why, you know, you got to explain how things are going down, including his school. Which, again, I know he's got to, quote, recuse himself. But there's no way in God's green earth that LSU is not the number one team in the country. They got three wins, Carl, over ranked opponents. Ohio State, and Ohio State's blowing doors on everybody. But their ranked opponent victory was a bad Michigan State team. That's it. They're going to go on and run the table. I'm pretty sure about that. But right now, in the here and now, LSU is clearly number one. That's not debatable. Clemson, you could argue, because they haven't had the ranked opponents that Penn State has. That's why they're on the outside. The question, I got into this, Carl, with some Clemson fans today on Twitter.
Were they mad?
No, they kind of knew it was coming, as we talked about. Florida State, when they were the defending champions, because this is the great argument about the playoff committee. If you are the defending champion, does that have carry any weight the following year? Florida State, 2014, undefeated defending champion. some bad wins. They won, but close wins. Mm-hmm. Some come from behind, some real grinders. And then they got smoked by an Oregon team that year when TCU was probably more deserving with one loss, was more complete than FSU. But how do you leave the defending undefeated champion out? You can't.
Ohio State, number one, margin of victory has been bigger. And number two, what they call game control, Ohio State's been in control of every game.
But you can't compare LSU to Ohio State's schedule. LSU's played much better teams.
Well, again, when they went up against the number one defense in Wisconsin, they routed them. And statistically, you can't dispute that. It wasn't Alabama. It wasn't LSU. It wasn't an SEC team that had those numbers. It was Wisconsin. So, you know, I think game control, and you talk about the margin of victory for Ohio State right now is the reason why they ended up putting them number one, and it's the reason why I had them number one going into this, at least the initial poll. Where they end up, and by the way, Ohio State does have an easier path to get to the college football playoff. I do think they're going to win out, and I do think they're going to win the Big Ten. But with that said, LSU, Mike, again, beat Bama. I think you could lose the SEC championship game, and not that they want to. I think the odd thing is, and the crazy thing is, if that was to happen, you could still have two SEC teams in Georgia winning the SEC championship, LSU being the one-loss team that lost in its championship conference or its conference championship game, and Alabama's on the outside looking in. So that's the unique thing about that scenario.
But this is the other argument, and you just laid it out there. You know, if Alabama, you know, is going to go play in the SEC championship and you got a one-loss LSU, they can get in there because we've already seen the precedent. But Alabama's got that juice. Alabama gets the love. They got the love in 2017 over some other teams. So it seems like they've just got that pedigree because they're always in the national conversation. So, but this gets back to it, the human element. It's not the solution. The computers at the BCS were a fiasco. But now I got people and I don't know what their agendas are. And they start, and again, half of this is almost like they're just effing with us. Okay? Some of this, what I'm looking at, LSU, I know you made an argument for Ohio State and their margin of victory.
Yeah.
You got three ranked opponents all in the top 10 when you played them and you beat them. That trumps anything Ohio State's done in my book. Okay, now we're going for style points. Okay, so when Ohio State is beating the Sisters of the Poor by 60, that carries more than LSU beating those opponents like going into Austin and beating Texas at the time.
Well, that again, they weren't. That game was back and forth. It wasn't like LSU dominated them.
Yeah, but they won it.
They did
on the road.
But that's what they're looking at.
What's Ohio State's big victory? You beat a Wisconsin team that we know is one dimensional. They can run the football and they can't throw it.
Mike, they had the best defense in the country at the time.
Again, based on who they've played, which was nobody.
Well, again,
they beat Michigan at
home.
That's
what the committee is saying. And listen, if you're one of these people going, I can't believe that Clemson is being left out. Well, you know what? Go win. Go win your ACC championship.
Carl, I'm with you. When you got the Ohio State gauntlet of FAU, Cincinnati, Indiana, Miami of Ohio, Nebraska, I mean, yeah, you really should be number one in the country.
The Ohio State.
LSU is number one. This is your committee just getting guys like us talking about it. It's
number
a total joke.
One.
Joke.
As I said 3 days ago, they would be and they are, and rightfully so.
Hairless nuts, get out of here with that crap.
The Atlanta Hawks will host Love Wins Pride Night, presented by Grady Hospital. It's tonight, guys, taking on the Bulls. Tip-offs at 7:30. The Atlanta Hawks will be honoring the Human Rights Campaign Foundation, a nonprofit organization. Get your tickets at Hawks.com. We'll come back. NFL Blitz is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.